Hello and welcome to SearchOracle.com's Open World Podcast Series. This is SearchOracle.com news editor Mark Brunelli, and thank you for joining us today. A couple of weeks ago, SearchOracle.com's small army of news editors descended upon San Francisco for Oracle's gigantic Open World Conference. While we were there, SearchOracle.com site editor Tim DeChara got a chance to sit down with Steve Feuerstein, one of the world's leading PL SQL gurus and author of 10 best-selling books. During the interview, Feuerstein discussed his impressions of this year's Open World, why he thinks it's too big, and he also talked about some of the changes he'd like to see in PL SQL when Oracle finally releases Database 11g. It's a very interesting interview, especially for those who want to learn more about PL SQL, and it's one you won't want to miss. So without further ado, here now is SearchOracle.com's Tim DeChara and his interview with PL SQL guru Steve Feuerstein.
Well, thanks, Stephen, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to chat.
Glad to do it.
I know that you're giving 4 sessions this week.
That's right.
That's pretty impressive. Is that, how's it been going so far? You've given 1 already?
I've given 2, actually. One on Sunday and one on Monday, and theater presentations and some podcasts and so on. So they're keeping me busy, and it seems to be going well. The interest in PL SQL remains very high, and it's kind of interesting to see the way the Oracle Open World show has been changing and how it relates to PL SQL, because, you know, from the Oracle corporate perspective, PL SQL is a very small piece of the puzzle, and it definitely doesn't generate a lot of revenue for them. So as Oracle Open World has taken on this life of its own and just exploded in size and scope, the PL SQL side has gotten relatively small. So the relatively few PL SQL sessions that there are, they're just packed, overflowing in general.
So do you think it offers value still for developers, or should it have a separate show perhaps at some point?
Boy, is that a political question? Let's see. All right, yes, I think there should be a separate show. I don't think you want to divorce developers from this show, but I think developers do need their own place, and in fact, we're doing one next year. There's something called Oracle PL SQL Programming 2007, which is a conference that will be taking place at the end of February and first day of March, which is the second annual PL SQL conference. So yeah, so we're working on making sure there's a focus, but certainly I think Oracle itself should be paying more attention to the PL SQL community, supporting it more, giving it more visibility and more resources. Huh. But then I am kind of a bigot when it comes to PL SQL.
Well, it's hard to believe the show will get any bigger next year.
Yeah, so. I don't want the show to get bigger. Yeah. It's overwhelming.
So your session yesterday was called 10 Things You Should Never Do in PL SQL. For those that missed it, what was number one?
Let's see. Never ask for help. Another one was never trust the gurus. Mm-hmm. It was
including
basically
yourself, or?
Including myself, absolutely. I don't think that those programmers out there who read my books or listen to my pieces of advice should say, oh, because Steven said it, it must be true. Everything has to be verified. So what I try to do is give people the tools and scripts to actually verify the things that I offer to them and other people do as well. Mm-hmm. But the presentation on Monday, honestly, was a classic example of infotainment at Oracle Open World. Lots of the sessions, you know, in an hour, you can't really get a lot of information across. And mostly, I see my role as, one of my roles as being, you know, kind of like, liven people up a little bit, enjoy what they're doing, get some fun out of PL SQL as well. So that was mostly infotainment.
Sounds like fun. So you've been a major player, obviously, in the PL SQL community for many years now. What do you think is the biggest problem or challenges that PL SQL developers face that they need to address? What's your biggest rant right now, basically?
Yeah, I've been obsessed with PL SQL for like 10 years now, published 10 books. It's pretty much the only thing I know. And even within my massive obsession around PL SQL, my obsession has actually gotten narrower over the years. Generally, it was best practices, helping people write better code. And today, my mission and my obsession is fairly tightly focused. It's around testing. I think that the biggest challenge that the whole development community faces, not just PL SQL, but it may be a little bit more severe in the world of PL SQL, but the biggest challenge we face is code quality. We churn out a lot of code because people need it. Human society needs code to run its modern systems. We churn out a lot of bad code, and it has enormously negative ramifications. $60 billion a year cost to the U.S. economy, probably more by now. That was a 2002 study. People die because of bad software. People agonize and get frustrated over bad software. And it's honestly, it's an embarrassment to we who call ourselves professionals that we would put out the kind of code we do. So I feel that the most important challenge facing us right now is to improve code quality, and specifically, one of the key ways to do that is to test our code more thoroughly.
Do you think users should no longer have the acceptance of bugs that we seem to have now? For we've been conditioned for so long to accept bugs as users, but software developers should step up and play them.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, look, one of the jokes I do in my testing presentations is, why would you test bugs that the users haven't found? I mean, why would you go about testing all your software and fixing hundreds of bugs when the users might only find two? Everybody gets a big chuckle out of that. You know, just-in-time testing, just-in-time debugging. But the bottom line is that users have no choice. They have to accept bad software because they need software. We have a captive audience. But at some point, you start to get some backlash, too. So for example, I think we are kind of put up on a pedestal in society. Software developers are seen as some sort of demigods. We're amazing. Actually, I think that we're not so amazing. Engineers, real engineers who build things like microwaves, they're amazing. People writing software, it's not actually all that tricky to do, but it does take a lot of attention to detail. And software, writing software is a lot of fun, so we have a lot of fun writing it. Testing it's really hard, so we tend to say, we'll focus on the writing, less on the testing. So yes, I think we have to have a massive change in our philosophy. Individually, developers have to commit to testing. Corporations, the people who build the software, internally, externally, like Quest Software, have to definitely increase their commitment to writing quality software. And what it fundamentally comes down to are better tools, because testing is a very hard thing to do.
So you think that, I mean, a lot of companies have QA departments, so they sort of do a cursory test of software. You think that's not sufficient?
Well, again, my focus is on programmers. I write code, that's it. So the QA organizations are important, they're needed, and they're pretty well in place doing what they do. So what they're testing are applications. Now, an application is constructed from hundreds, thousands of individual programs. And the challenge that we face as developers is we have to test those individual programs. Because if we don't, then you end up testing at a high level and you have to debug all the way down the stack to find your errors. If you test each element as you're building up your pyramid of code, essentially, until you get to the point where the user's actually interacting with your software, then if they hit a bug, you don't have to worry about whether you've got bugs in all your individual units, your little black boxes, which you can treat them as. But the interactions between those black boxes at a higher level. So no, I think the issue is not the QA team. It's not whether there's good software out there to build scripts that run your screens and run through your websites and verify whether or not it meets expectations at that level. The issue is whether we as developers, as we complete a program, can then build or run a test that says, this program works. It has the following specifications, and it meets the specifications. That's the biggest challenge right now. And unit testing software is few and far in between.
You're recommending a formal procedure, a policy, as well as tools.
Yes, we definitely management, individually developers need to say, I'm going to test. Managers need to say, I recognize that testing is important. We're going to make room for it in our schedule. We're going to invest in tools that make it possible for you to test practically speaking. But I think actually the main issue is tools. And I've been working on a number of testing related tools over the last 5 years. And I think I've actually finally got it right.
Look forward to that, and that's a product that Quest is releasing soon, is that?
That's a product we're releasing at the show, in a non-commercial free version. It's called Quest Code Tester for Oracle. Uh-huh. And why don't I step back a little bit? About 5 years ago, I wrote something called UTPLSQL. Now, probably a lot of the folks who will be listening to this podcast have heard of JUnit. JUnit is a pretty much standardized unit testing framework based on extreme programming principles that lots and lots of Java developers use. JUnit's great, and I read about extreme programming a number of years ago and thought, this is pretty cool stuff. I'm going to adapt it to PLSQL and create an analog in the PLSQL world. And that's what UTPLSQL is. So it gives you a framework in which you can write your test code. It gives you an engine in which you can run your test code and get your results back automatically. Very cool stuff. The problem is that you still have to write the test code. And if you spend any time studying this area, what you learn very quickly is that it's generally well accepted that if you have a program of, say, 10 lines, you might have to write hundreds of thousands of lines of test code. Well, that's insane. Nobody's ever going to do that. So what I've been focusing on over the last year is building a tool that will allow you to describe your test in a graphical interface and then generate the test code for you. And that's what we've got with Quest Code Tester. You can literally say things like, I've got a program that modifies an underlying table, deletes rows from a table. Now, to test that, it's quite complex in the world of Oracle. I can simply say, take that table and see if it's equal to another query or another table. And CoTester will generate all the PLSQL code to do all that testing for you.
That's interesting. That's available now on the...
It's available now. That's right, through Toad World, toadworld.com, which is a new portal that Quest has created for Toad users and PLSQL developers.
Interesting. So you think that the lack of code testing, of course, is a major problem with PLSQL developers. What do you think is the biggest deficiency in the actual PLSQL language itself that Oracle, you think, needs to address?
Good question. PLSQL has been changing a lot over the years. You know, there's been some discussion and controversy within the Oracle world of whether Oracle's moving away from PLSQL. It's throwing all of its interest into Java. And I'd say it's very clear if you look at the trajectory of the PLSQL language through recent versions that Oracle's very committed to PLSQL, and they're doing foundational work. So if you look at 11g, which they're announcing essentially at this show, they're actually moving towards native compilation of PLSQL code, direct-to-machine code. So you're looking at programs running twice as fast as they did before, or more, sometimes many times more. And these are the kind of things that are just a remarkable declaration of commitment to the PLSQL language. So having said that, of course, I'm also a big complainer about PLSQL, and there's always a lot of stuff that I personally want to see. And I think that there are two levels of concern I have about the future projection of the PLSQL language. One is that while it's very rich in its own particular space, it's not complete. There are things that it doesn't do well enough that are, I would consider, fairly basic. So they're very mundane little things. So if a PLSQL developer is listening to this, and if they're not a PLSQL developer, it's unlikely they listen to me. There's a program called dbmsoutput.putline to display information to the screen. You can't even pass a Boolean variable to dbmsoutput.putline to display true or false. They just never get around to it. Now, there's a good reason they don't get around to it. They're doing many more amazing things than that. But the problem is that if you don't have all your little I's dotted and T's crossed, if the basics aren't there, then developers get frustrated very quickly with the language, and they kind of distance themselves from it. So I think that Oracle should take some time, step back, and make much more space in their next release to say, let's clean up all this little stuff and just take away the years of complaints from Stephen Feuerstein. Have him stop bothering us so much. Beyond that, another particular pet issue of mine has to do with reflection capabilities of PLSQL. When you're running PLSQL code, there are very few capabilities of actually querying the runtime architecture to say, what is the structure of the record I'm now looking at? What is the structure of the object? Now, for most everyday programmers, that's not too important. For people like myself who are trying to work with PLSQL in a different way and really build tools to deliver to other PLSQL developers, it's a tremendous glaring lacking in the language. Java has a very strong reflection capability. So that's one particular, you know, pet interest of mine that's pretty far down in the list of priorities. So maybe if I talk about it in all my podcasts, I'll do it.
Well, I'm happy to publicize it. Well, final question. So you've written 10 very well-regarded books. What's next on the agenda for you?
Well, I'd say in terms of books, I don't have any plans for new ones right now. Part of the problem with writing all those wonderful books is that you have to maintain them. So my next focus on books is to do a second edition of my best practices book. I really need to be focused. That's the thing. And my focus right now is going to be how to improve the quality of code that people write. So I'm going to focus on kind of freshening up my best practices content from the OTN best practices column to my books. And again, still just really focusing on the testing. We're releasing the first version of this tool. It'll go commercial in January, February of next year, first quarter of next year. And that's just the start. We're going to be building out this product much more extensively, and we'll be taking it to other database programming languages. This same PressCode tester can work not only for Oracle, but for SQL Server, for MySQL. The whole idea is you don't write code, you describe your tests. Well, if you're doing that, you're stepping away from the code. So we've got years and years of very interesting and important development on CodeTester, and that'll be my focus.
Well, good luck with that, and thank you very much for taking your time, and good luck with the rest of the week.
Thanks very much. I enjoyed speaking with you.
Thank you.